Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 18, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter the 18th of February 2020. Each of us is like a cogwheel that spins with other cogwheels in a single mechanism, without personal freedom of motion. The common movement moves the wheels toward a single goal. Any resistance to the common movement elicits a general malfunction and problem. Everyone has to reveal this. I want to sow the friends' desires together. If I sow the friends' hearts with each other, connecting them stitch by stitch, I end up with a field where I'll reveal the creator. This is my creator, my field, since I connected their hearts and built my soul. Benny Baruch is the Kabbalistic group of the New World, which is now opening the entrance into spirituality for all mankind. Behind us, we are pulling the whole world out of egoism. This is more difficult than individual ascent from egoism, but this is the work of the generation of the Mashiach, one who pulls out of egoism. The nine people in front of me, is nine upper sephirot. I am Malkhut. I restrict myself, serve them, join them, ready to do anything for them, thereby building a spiritual part Suf. Mutual guarantee is the condition for the existence of the spiritual part Suf, bestowal to the Creator, and reception from Him. I can switch tens every minute, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I annul my egoism and each time accept the ten that's in front of me instead of my heart. This is called mutual guarantee. Each one enters the heart of the other. We operate together like cells of one body, and attain the operation of this body in all of its connections. We thereby lift ourselves to the Creator's degree, attaining the mechanism of this system's activity. We lift ourselves to the comprehension of the thought of creation, to the Creator's revelation. I don't care who I sit with, it's always the same ten. There can't be any more or less in the whole universe. Even if I sat with 8 billion people, it would also be 10, only on a greater scale, to better enable me to discover the details of one Kli. But it's the same 10 Sephirot. From Twitter, the 18th of February 2020. Why nature rejuvenates when humans leave. From my Facebook page Michael Leitman the 18th of February 2020. In 1986, the world's biggest nuclear accident took place in Chernobyl. Escaping from vast amounts of radiation, people hastily left their homes. Today, after over 30 years, the 30-kilometer closed zone around Chernobyl is inhabited by dozens of species, many of which haven't lived in that area for centuries. What this example shows us is that human interference is much worse than radiation. Why? The wisdom of Kabbalah says that humans have an additional aspect to the rest of nature, the human ego, which is a desire to enjoy at the expense of others. Therefore, as far as we go, we interfere with the perfectly balanced natural system with any smallest action, even if we are unaware of it. Therefore, when people leave, nature rejuvenates. Can we achieve a nature-like harmony in human society? Definitely. This is what we have to do. How? Study the inner sense of nature, its laws, and try becoming integral with it, flowing into one another. When we reach such unity with nature, we will see that, in fact, everything is simply blissful. Becoming a source of influence on the Creator. Baal HaSulam, Shemati 34, The Advantage of the Land. Thus, all the descents where one feels that he has come to separation are an opportunity to discern between something and its opposite. In other words, from the descents, one should learn the benefits of the ascents. He would not be able to extract the importance that he could extract, as when one is given food without ever having felt hunger. It turns out that the descents, which are the times of separation, create the importance of adhesion in the ascents, while the ascents make him hate the descents that the separation causes him. How can I begin to feel the upper world, the highest state, which is not in my material desires? Only from the fact that I feel it as good or bad according to our earthly conditions, and then rising above them. In any case, we grow from the earth as plants and nothing can be done about it. We have no other definition. The fact is that we are in states where we have to begin to determine what is good and bad not with respect to our animal body, but with respect to the absolute, as if relative to outer space, the Creator. With respect to the Creator, good is only in rapprochement, unification into one common unified system. Then all creations will start feeling the connection between themselves and the Creator filling all these connections. Achieving this is the goal of our attainment. Almost all of us are already in this state, we only need to reveal it for ourselves in feeling and mind. But this can be revealed only through a group. There is no other way. If we create a group in which we try to unite in order to attain the general governing force in this very unification, then we begin to explore this force, to feel it, to get closer. It becomes our tool and we can do whatever we wish with the Creator. In fact, the Creator is not some kind of force that does whatever it wants. It is the total force of the universe that surrounds and includes everything. To the extent we make ourselves similar to it, to that extent we can reveal its emanation on us, bring it closer, move away from it, etc. A person begins to feel himself as a source of influence on the Creator. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 22nd of December 2019. The Uniqueness of the Force Governing Us, Part 2. The Creator's Theater. Balhasulam's article, Shemati 1. There is none else besides him. This is deemed a correction called the left rejects and the right pulls closer, meaning that what the left rejects is considered a correction. The left rejects means rejection, that is, hiding the Creator when we become uncertain about him. We begin to think that there are other forces opposite of him. It seems to us that there is either dittyism, that is, a bad Creator and a good one against the other, because we perceived the world as such, or polytheism, that is, many forces in the world that are in opposing relationships. This is all conceived and done on purpose. This means that there are things in the world that, to begin with, aim to divert a person from the right way, and by which he is rejected from Kedusha, holiness. There are specifically forces, phenomena, and actions that arise which are initially placed before a person with the intention of driving a person astray, pushing one away from striving for the Creator, throwing a person from the thought that only one force, only one Creator, acts on him. Thus, these rejections help a person because with their help one receives a need, a complete desire for the Creator to help him reveal himself. Otherwise, he couldn't have defined himself in any way in this world. With that, a person wants to understand who controls it, who determines his thoughts, actions, and everything that happened in the past, that is happening in the present, and that will happen in the future. On one hand, it is clear that this is accomplished under the influence of a single force of nature. On the other hand, this force constantly twists and lures us into various circumstances, and we attribute everything that happens to other people, events, and various authorities, as if they independently control both the world and our life. Thus, I stray from the definition of the uniqueness of the Creator's governance. I cannot maintain the fact that only one single force controls me like that. I see contradictions in this control all the time. Why does the Creator do this? It is so that in all these contradictions we could discover him by our own will, despite the fact that I suddenly fall under the power of the police, the state, relatives, family, and children. My friends influence me, and suddenly someone else also does. In fact, I must clearly determine that I am only in the field of the Creator, and there is no one else who controls me, introduces and withdraws me from all these states, and substitutes various other sources of influence upon me. At every second, I must be directed through all supposedly earthly sources toward him and clearly know that he is doing everything through his puppets, my family, friends, enemies, and even politicians. The whole picture that I see in front of me and call this world is a theater through which the Creator acts upon me. I have to connect this entire theater to him in his every action. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 24th of November 2019. Spiritual Holidays, Part 5. Holiday of Sukkot and its Symbols. 5 days after the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, comes the holiday of Sukkot, which means that a person receives 5 upper lights of Nar on high and comes to the state when one is under the influence of the surrounding light. In order to receive the surrounding light, a person must perform an action on oneself called building a hut, Sukkah. This is a restriction that as if blocks the upper light from a person because he or she does not want to receive it for one's own fulfillment, but wants to receive it only for self-correction. A person continues the same line, from the New Year through Yom Kippur to Sukkot. Thus a person builds a screen, masach, called shak, roof, which symbolizes that only a small light can penetrate through this roof. One sits in the shade of the hut for 7 days, which represents a correction of all 7 egoistic parts of the shattered soul, Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malkhut. Only then, once one is already corrected, one leaves the Sukkah and on the 8th day, Shemini Atzeret, celebrates the giving of the Torah, that is, one begins to receive the upper light already in the style of bestowal. Question: is the roof, shack or screen, made from waste? Answer: yes, out of branches of various trees and stalks of various grains. Question: waste symbolizes things that are unimportant to us, and we raise them to make them important. What exactly is important to us? Answer: things that we previously considered not important for us, we neglected bestowal, love, coming closer to other people, loving your neighbor as yourself, the qualities that we need to develop, now, on the contrary, we raise above our heads. That is, we want to implement them at any cost. Question: during the holiday of Sukkot, we use the attributes of 4 types of plants, willow, myrtle, palm, and citron. What do they symbolize? Answer: they represent 4 phases of our egoism, which we correct, connect together, and then we can attract the upper light upon ourselves. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 29th of January 2019. New Life Number 243. Happiness and Social Ties, Part 2.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on New Life with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. And today we'd like to learn how to be happy, how to take our life here and now to a better place, so we'll wake up in the morning happy. We'll feel that around us there are good people that want our own benefit, and for the whole atmosphere to be better and better. How do we do it? What are the ways? Why are the social connection between us? How can the social connection between us bring us to a better life? Tal. Okay, so we'd like to first of all say that a person is a social creature, and we said that there is a preparation, a natural preparation to connect. We see it in our mirror neurons that allow us to identify with the other's pain, other's happiness. And in the psychology, there is this theory that speaks about the ability only that people and maybe gorillas can feel what the other side feels. The rest of the animals don't have this. And there is something unique in the human species that allows us to have much more complex connections with others. There's language. There are many things that don't exist in the animal world, and would like to start with what's unique about the human beings and their ability to connect with others. There are many animals that live in society, wolves and others, but what's special about man? The intention. What do you mean by intention? The problem is, all matter, still vegetative, animate, and people, the most fundamental quality is the desire to enjoy, the what we call the will to receive, the desire to fulfill oneself, to feel better in any possible way, inner, physical, on all levels. And this matter is basic matter that does not change, that all the time thinks how to feel more comfortable in the best possible way, and what exists in people more than in the animal world, because we're also part of the animal world, but we have an addition. The addition is that man has an intention, how to use his ability in one way or another. And by changing the intention over the matter, we start playing with our matter, with our desire in different ways, meaning I can decrease my will to receive, my will to enjoy, because I have an intention to enjoy it more later. I don't understand, says Owen. Okay, we have two things. We have the desire and the intention. How do I use my desire? Just to see that I understand what you're saying, you said that all the creatures in nature aspire to feel. There is this desire imprinted in each and every creature to feel better every moment. And this is the only thing that operates them. You mean animals? Yes. Okay, we humans also have this fundamental desire, and we have something in addition. What is that? Why do I use my desire? What for? Meaning I can use my desire in different forms and ways, indirect forms, like a lie, that I distort myself in some way, and as a result I have the ability to use others. Suppose the lion, he doesn't use the deer. He doesn't exploit her. He catches her and eats her, and there are no intentions about this. The act and the desire, they're one. Meaning he wants to eat, he eats a deer. Yes, and there's no shame about it. And he doesn't do it in any hidden way or something. A person, he has an addition above his desire that he also has shame. He has an intention. Above the desire, he has a demand, criticism about how do I use my desire. What are you exactly talking about? The so-called will to receive. I said that. Okay, so let's take the lion who eats the deer. And let's make a parallel. A person, what does he do? When the lion eats a deer, he has no shame. He's hungry, he eats her. Great. A person has what? A person, usually, besides wars and the direct way that he confronts things, he always has an inclination to play, to make himself more pretty than he actually is, to clothe himself, meaning to use his desire, but not directly, because along with the desire he has shame that he is in the will to receive. And then the human level is according to the extent to which he has shame. And then he needs to clothe himself. And he has to hide his desires by different other things, in different other clothings, Please, how are you? How are you doing? Diplomacy, politics, different kinds of customs and politeness, and eat like it's accustomed to eat and hide different unpleasant things from others. All that exists in a person and develops in a person in order to close his desires so that directly he would like to simply eat everyone. So what develops in us is the so-called intention, meaning that now, one second, I'll sum it up to see if I understand correctly. The lion wants to eat a deer, eats it, and great, no problem. Wants it and does it. A person wants to eat someone else up, but he stops a moment, and there's this mechanism that comes in, the concealment of my aspiration to eat the deer or the person in front of me, the politics, the manners, the everything we know. Okay, this mechanism that hides my animalistic aspiration to eat up others. Yes. And we exist in both of these factors, the desire and the intention. And then I have to take care of it. I have to cover myself with... I have to conceal myself nicely. Why do I do it? I have to kill that person, otherwise he will harm the whole of humanity. Or I have to do this and that because otherwise I won't be able to cope with something. I must steal this money because everyone steals money, and by this I do justice. I have to balance things. By what I steal, I balance what others steal, or something like that. I'm all the time in justifying myself, in building inside myself the human level. The human level is called the justification of my actions. So that's the addition that man has over animals, that he has to justify his deeds. Yes, and it's a big problem, because a lion doesn't need any physical clothing or mental artificial clothing, meaning to hide himself, to conceal himself. A person wants and does it, and we already have this from nature. I want to enjoy something, so I dress it in different forms, nice forms. A guy likes this girl. What? It's not clear what's going on here. It is, but it's done in a very, very hidden way, kind of, that is accepted upon everyone, and everyone accepts it, and the whole of reality revolves around it. Now, about what we're talking about, how to achieve happiness and joy. So how can we achieve happiness if we're so all tangled up between our desires and intentions? And so turns so out that if I operate in any place and I operate with my desire, and my desire is always to enjoy, to keep myself in the best possible, nicest way, this desire is, you can't correct it, you can't change it. I remain on the inside like that same lion that wants to catch and kill and eat the whole of the world, the whole of reality. So how can we reach a good and nice connection between us, if so? And here I want to come a bit closer to our topic, because the topic of desires and intentions is something very wide, and you really need a long explanation. So what turns out is that I can take care of my intentions through the environment. And what happens if so in the environment? I learn from the environment. Environment, you mean the people around me. Yes, the people around me with whom I have these special exercises. And then through these special exercises that we want to connect, we start discovering how we really think, each one of us, only about himself in his own favor, and can never think about anyone else. Right? Okay. Now the question. If so, then do we have a chance to really bring the people in our environment, and humanity in general, or some nation, to a good and nice relationship between them, to be like brothers, to be friends, to be united, to have a good connection, to have mutual guarantee between them? Is it possible? And here we understand that first of all you have to try and come to that. But what happens when we try to get there? When we're trying to get there, when we're trying to reach a good and nice state of connection between us, by that we discover how much we're not there. Only we don't tell that people in advance, but we say we have to head for connection and unity. And the first stage in bringing ourselves to happiness is to connect. We talked about it. Now, when we get into the connection, what happens then? When we connect, what happens? What happens is that through the connection, we scrutinize how incapable we are of doing it, of being there. And then, all societies, communism, Platonism, whatever, that wanted to build, like the kibbutz and so on, that they wanted to build a special, nice and good society, they stumble upon this. Why? They get stuck. That's where they get stuck, because they discover that a person has to change his desire, and we don't have to change our desire. That's the problem in the diagnosis. Above the desire, we have to put the right intention and to leave the desire as is. I don't understand, says Owen. What was the mistake? The mistake was that all people throughout history, all the bleeding hearts, they thought that they can change our nature, the desire, the matter, which is completely the will to enjoy, to receive, the desire to fill yourself with full abundance. So what did they want? For a person to serve society and so on. Yes, for me to invert myself into the very opposite, which is impossible, because that's the fundamental matter. And we do not change in the fundamental matter, in our basic matter. But what we can change is, how do I use that desire, that matter, in favor of others, or for myself, for my own benefit? I can change my intention. Meaning that there could be a state where I want to enjoy bestowing onto others, loving the friends, giving, just like I give to my children, and I enjoy that. I give candy to some kid, and I enjoy that candy more than he does. It's known. So, meaning that what you have to have here is love, the intention, but the desire, it remains the same desire. I enjoy. Were I not to enjoy giving candy to my baby, I wouldn't have given it candy. Researches show that people who give are more happier than people that don't give. Okay, but the question is, how can we change our intention? Because through that we actually reach love of others. So it's not the act of giving itself, but the love about it. The action will come later. Yes or no, it doesn't matter. It's not important. The main thing is to change the intention. How do I reach? How do I change the intention? If I could do the following: stop myself from relating to others in any way, besides the very basic things that we need to take care of each other, to live on the very basic animalistic level, to live in society. But all the rest, I restrict all the relations and I take care of the intention. If my intention is in favor of society, meaning if I've reached a state that I love others, then to that extent I can operate the desire and use it. And then I create a connection and give and enjoy the giving. If I don't have this attitude towards others, that I love the other, that my intention is in his favor, and I don't enjoy that, I don't operate that desire. What desire? The desire to enjoy giving. The desire to enjoy receiving, or the desire to enjoy giving? The desire to receive, the will to receive, is my matter, my substance. Now I have two possibilities. To enjoy reception from receiving from others, that's our natural desire. I restrict the intention to enjoy others, and the desire to receive, to enjoy others, I restrict that, and I develop a desire to give the others, or more correctly put, the intention to give to others, the attitude and love towards others. And then to the extent that there's love, I can operate my desire in return, meaning I allow myself to relate to all the people only to the extent to which I love them, only to the extent to which I think in their favor. And I enjoy that. Maybe you can give an example. Some kind of an action that I restrict unless I have the right intention. I know that all of my actions towards others are evil actions because I want to use everyone, consciously or unconsciously. That is how I'm built. I'm not talking about the wife and the children, that there it's natural. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about social actions. Now I need to think, how can I, first of all, acquire a good attitude toward them, a true good attitude toward them? There are many people who say, I'm in favor of everyone. We're all in that lie. No, we're not talking about that. Now, on the workshop, like we talk about, in all these circles, we start scrutinizing. To what extent do we want or don't want in favor of others? To what extent do we want to connect with others? Let's try and connect more. Let's check and test ourselves. Is it really happening or not? Where is this connection between us, like the center of connection? How can we enjoy the center of connection between us? And then we discover that we are really like slaves. We're slaves to our malicious intentions. And what we discover is the evil inclination. The inclination is the desire. We don't touch it, but it's evil, meaning that it is exploiting others in my own faith, for my own benefit. We have to change the evil inclination for the good inclination. The inclination, the desire stays the same, only the intention. How do I treat others? With what intention? To use them or to benefit them? This is what we change. Meaning that we focus ourselves less on the desires and so on, but we focus ourselves on the love. Okay, so now I want to ask about this. So we understand that there's a certain mechanism here about how to reach happiness through the relations between us. Now I want to ask, why are there people, certain people, that have more of an inclination towards this? They're more social people, and less. Researchers show that a more social person is more inclined to be happy, has more friends, more roles in society, and a more closed person is less inclined toward that, and he's less happy. So does a social person, is he more, does he have a better chance of being happy? Just to a certain extent. because, of course, he has as if more sources to enjoy himself. The friends, they confuse him, he confuses them, they all have a good time. But we have to take into consideration our development. Our development nonetheless leads us toward a certain goal of the right connection. And therefore, we see a big crisis in all these, so to speak, pretty societies, also among the altruists, and how distorted they become, deviated, with Greenpeace and all the ecology and all those things, how it all becomes a game of politics, and that's it. And that's how it is with everything. And people too, when they start connecting more between them, to a certain extent, to a certain limit, it's hard. Unless they try to stop themselves and stay children. And so it's no wonder that in our times, people, they grow up later because subconsciously they feel that it's better for them to stay kids. And then there's the society, a few friends, I go to the pub, maybe we work a bit, maybe we don't, and we hang out. Time goes by. It's the beginning of the recognition of evil, but still, it's in its very beginning. Okay, I want to ask about this. You're saying that social ties is something that if I have it, it can bring me closer to happiness, right? On a certain level of development. You're saying that the point in life is that a person, he modifies himself and he develops in his attitude towards others. Do I want to exploit others or benefit them? And therefore, the goal of bringing us to the true connections, which is to benefit others, yes, it ruins my egoistic connection, which is to exploit others, yes. So let's progress from this definition. We'll call this like you said, the right social ties will bring me closer to happiness? Yes, absolutely, yes. Because you are in balance with nature. Now, it's a general law for all people wherever they are. Yes, that's the law of evolution. Okay, the law of evolution developing toward better connections. Now, let's take two people, you and I. You were born more social. I'm not that social. My entire life, I'm not that social. In this evolution of yours as a human being that has to pass from a state where his attitude towards others is to exploit them and to find their happiness this way, it's easier for you because you're more social. I'm less social. So what's going to happen with me? How will I, a less social person, reach happiness if the factor for reaching happiness is connecting with others? You'll nonetheless be obligated to connect with others and take care of that. The time will come. You're closer to happiness than I am. Yes, because you're more social. Yes, I will reach that more. Or I'm richer. I don't need society. Or I'm in some science or something. I don't need society. There are many obstacles here. And vice versa. So what do I do if I'm not social? I want to be happy. Being social is only a means. I want to be happy. Everyone looks for their happiness in different forms. Everyone reaches a state where he has to be connected with society in a good way. That's the evolution you're talking about. Everyone, therefore, reaches that one way or another. Okay, I want to be smart. I want to speed things up. If that's evolution, I understand that it will happen anyway. Right. Okay, so I'm not a social person. Give me a piece of advice. How do I progress towards happiness? Not through suffering, but in a quicker way. Meaning, not through evolution, which is the way of suffering through blows, but yes, I want to develop my consciousness. But I'm not social. Take that into consideration. Okay, nonetheless, you have to come to a workshop, to society, where they talk about the integral connection between us. and to learn, meaning you don't have some specific emphasis. No, the technology is the same technology, only maybe you're not social, and because you're not social, you might understand it much quicker, more than social people, that through the right connection with society, you can find happiness. Why? Because you have a stronger contrast. Yes, a stronger power of scrutiny between the plus and the minus in that person, because he himself doesn't want society on the hand. He sees that, yes, only this way I feel it, and I see it in my rationale that this is the way to do it. So what does he do? He has a greater dilemma, meaning he is in a greater intensity of scrutiny. Social people, they just flow. Great, we found a good, nice society. They flow because they don't yet feel that they're there because of their normal egoistic drive. And he knows that he is not there because of his egoistic drive, but against it. And from the very first moment, he has a struggle, meaning that his scrutiny is much more effective, powerful. Even though that I don't feel like being among people, yes, specifically because of that. So there I can learn how to connect with him and be happy, and then he uses his time better. So it means that if I'm not social, it's good for me to try and develop these social skills. And one more, but it is good for us in our circles, on the workshops and so on, to put together these two kinds of people, for these to strengthen those. The more social people will give them social examples, and he will give them his resistance. So I wanted to ask about that. We said that there is a kind of a network of connections that we're some about, some we know about, some we don't. Where are there such differences between people? There are models we know talk about 16 kinds of people, types of people, 9 types in psychology. There are more extroverted people, introverted, more idealists. Each and every person adds from himself. Each one. That's why, to begin with, this is how we're built. And the combination, it comes as a result of the certain specific combinations between the desire and the intention. That's what all the differences between people come from. It's a complicated sentence, true. Let's open it on a separate conversation. So, is it important for me to know what kind of character I am? What should I know myself? Is it important? I don't think so. From what I feel, from what I understand, from experience, and from my studying, I'm really sure that an inclination for the right social connection on this path, we will discover everything that we'll need, and we'll discover on this way, on this path, all the fundamental basic principles and psychology and the physiology and how they're intertwined, and we'll really study ourselves very deeply. Where are there people that I naturally connect with and people that I don't? It's also according to our ego, because what suits me better and what suits me less, it's the law of nature that similar things are attracted and opposite things, they push one another away. It's not that they attract one another, they give a better ability, more quicker ability to connect. But that's, we're speaking egoistically, meaning I want to enjoy you, and you want to enjoy me, and we discover a mutual understanding in the connection between us, then it's easier for us to connect and to reach a mutual pleasure. Whereas if we influence one another, then maybe I'll look for someone who's opposite to me, where I can bestow more, where I can come to a greater extreme, And the connection between us, despite the gap, the difference, will give me the entire happiness, the depth of the giving to others, and accordingly the feeling of my pleasure and happiness. So if I want to be happy, I should also have friends that are different from me and that I'll make a special effort to be their friend. And therefore, we are different, specifically because of that. Not for the present, but for the future. So that we will be able to correct ourselves this way in our love towards others, and then what I have, he has, and so on, and we can connect. Because in the meantime, it's a whole mess. People are rejected from each other. They can't get along at work. It's complete disconnection. They don't even want to get married, or they get divorced after a year or two. Yes. So there's hope for these ties too. Not that there's hope, but for sure we'll come to that. Only we want, through integral education, to bring humanity to it quickly and easily. Okay, now we talked a bit about relationships and the difference between people, and there are several questions here. The difference between men and women. There are very interesting researches about it that show that a connection, that the way a woman connects with her girlfriends is very different than a way that a man connects with his friends. The truth is that it has nothing to do with our topic, because if we reach a connection in favor of the other, I stop feeling his sex. I want in his favor, and what is in his favor? It's neither female or male. It's like Adam Rishon that was created this way, that he was as if bisexual, so to speak. It doesn't matter. It's because I stop seeing the physical form, the bodily form, but I want into that person, the definition person, I want to bestow good into him and to enjoy that. Therefore, there's no, it's not about beauty or externality or even the natural character or habits, but I relate to whoever that is, however he developed, and I bestow onto him. So that raises us beyond any differences. Raises us to such an extent that I stop feeling whether it's a man or a woman in front of me. I don't want to stop feeling the difference. I understand what you're saying, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about bestowing onto others. What is bestowal? To do good to others, really good. For him to feel good without anything in return for myself, and I enjoy that I can cause him this ideal fulfillment. What kind of fulfillment? To fill his desires. What do you mean? Whatever you want. And then I enjoy that. Now, it completely doesn't have to do anything with my relation toward a woman. As a man, I'm speaking. Because here I make myself into the supplier of joy. Toward whom? Toward anyone. Even toward the still vegetative inanimate. Doesn't matter. And all the more toward the speaking level. What is this just supplier of happiness? I want for everyone to be happy. That's it. And you? What about you? Wait a moment. So we're returning to the intentions now. So my intentions, I have to examine them here. Am I, or can I, make it so in my intentions that I do not demand anything in return besides the action that I do? Besides the action itself, that I do good to others. That the other won't know about it, that I even don't know that I'm doing him good. To such an extent, we have to scrutinize that, but that I do not enjoy, or more correctly put, that my pleasure will not be the reason for benefiting the other, for my pleasure not to be the reason for bestowing on to the other. So why am I doing him good? Because I'm doing him good, and I enjoy doing good to the other. But it's not my pleasure that is the reason, the factor. Because you love him. It's out of love. Okay, so here we have a question. Wait, before you progress. I want to get this. What's first, what's second? The factor. What's the cause and what's the consequence? If the cause is that I want to enjoy and feel good with myself and I do good to others, how do you call this? Ego. Okay, egoistic pleasure. Because what's the purpose? To fill your own self. Okay, I want to enjoy, and that's the means. I want to do good, and then I enjoy it or don't, and so on. It's egoistic pleasure. Yes, your action is a means in order to enjoy. And you're saying that there is a different possibility, there is a different kind of connection in which I want to do good to others. I'll do good to others, and as a result, I enjoy. Enjoy causing the other good. Enjoying causing the other good, yes. And were you not, if you don't enjoy that, would you cause that person good or not? Look at Tal sitting next to you. I don't know, it's a hard question. Exactly. Here we all reach the point of truth. This is exactly the point. What are you working for? In your own favor or for the benefit of others? So the social ties that you're already adding to the word social ties, correct social ties, it means that I connect with another thinking about his benefit and not my own, and that I enjoy it, it's a side effect, it's on the way, but it's not my compass on the way. That's called reaching the right connections? Yes. And there I will find my happiness? Yes. If you'll find your happiness there, it will really be the true happiness because you're not exploiting the others. You're not using them. What do you mean? You're not exploiting the others. It's not using others. If I use the others, you brought her flowers, you brought her candy, you invite her to some, restaurant. Why? We know why. You say. Because you want to enjoy her. Say it out loud. Yes, as a man enjoys a woman. Obviously, clear. It's clear to us. Yes. Okay, good. So you don't want to benefit her. You don't want to do her good. You're simply exploiting her this way.
Okay.
If she understands that, and she understands that for sure, then here there is already a calculation. How much presence does she have to get from you in order to let you enjoy her? Or the other way around, doesn't matter. There is an egoistic exploitation of each other. Okay. That's it. Egoistic exploitation. Now the question is, how do we not treat each other that way, but we treat each other truly out of love? I don't demand anything in return from a baby. I love the baby. Regardless, when I kiss it and he slobbers all over me, I don't mind. I'm ready to give him everything. I'm ready to cause him everything, even if he doesn't know. I'm ready to do everything for him, even if he doesn't know. He's someplace far away, and I send him money without any returning address, without anything. He doesn't know that it's me. Why? Because it's enough for me that he has. If I want something in return, that's already a problem. It's already a problem. Probably by that, I want to use the connection between us in order to obligate him to do something and so on. That exists egoistically, this kind of connection between parents and children too. But if it's really love, it's without anything in return. It's called unconditional love. No conditions. One way. Completely one way. Meaning I don't get anything in return. Like you say there, feedback, side effect, nothing. It's only in one direction. And I enjoy my own action. And for him not to know that I did it. And even in order to clear myself from knowing that I did this, there's another addition here, but we'll talk about that later. It's already a higher psychology. Okay, to ask about this. In this kind of relation toward others, like you've described according to your perception, only in this kind of attitude I will find my happiness. Because in the circle, you reach the center of the circle, and only for that, for the center of the circle where everyone is connected, that's what you're working for. Wait a second, there were only two of us. I get it, true love is without anything in return for myself. From what you say, the way you see things, only in this attitude like you've described in the past 2 moments, I can only there find my lasting pleasure, happiness. All the rest of the things are small temporary pleasures that will disappear in a few moments. Yes. So I want to understand, why is it so? Why is it that only if I shift from exploiting her for myself to something higher, why only here I can find a happiness that won't disappear? Therefore, I return to the topic of the group, that in this right kind of connection toward others, you discover some kind of a source of life that is in nature, that exists in nature, in the center of the group. And this source fills you up. This is what we discover on workshops. Wait a second, in my connection with others, I can touch that source. In the meantime, it's hard. The easiest way to learn about this for the time being is practicing it on workshops. Is there any importance here that relationship is something lasting, suppose, that I do it with another partner? Workshop, it's different people every time. There's this known phenomenon like a childhood buddy. A childhood buddy, whatever we go through on the way, it always lasts, has a certain meaning for life. So the question is, what is the meaning of a relationship that lasts for a long time? If we have workshops, we collect people, it's good that they will somehow be similar to each other. Or opposite to each other, depends on what we want to scrutinize, but we have to pay attention to it. One way or another, it could be pro or con, they could be opposed to one another, doesn't matter how. But we need to take this into consideration. Okay, and is there a meaning to a long-lasting relationship having it with the same person? Yes, we have the same language, we understand each other. We're talking about people that come from afar, that sit together, and they start scrutinizing things and building the connection between them, what we call the center of the group, where everyone sits around a round table, and there's something in the middle. They start feeling that from there they get this new spirit. Meaning that if I once connected with someone and we build this special connection, the next time we'll meet, we already have a common grounds, common basis. Yes, and it's good to progress in a relatively homogeneous society. But sometimes the opposite too, in order to push forward new people or to teach on them, how do we help them progress? I want to understand something here about childhood buddies. We're talking about happiness and social ties. And if we map the social ties that we go through in life, then we talked a bit about the connection between man and woman. Now there's a very special connection that everyone knows, that it's childhood buddies. Why? Connection with childhood buddies have a certain quality that you can't find in connection with friends with which you've created a relationship later on in life as an adult. Why the childhood buddy, they imprint this emotional feeling that's unique? What is it? It's very simple and clear, because then you did not use intentions. You didn't use intentions back then. You weren't cunning. You were direct, like a child. A child is like an animal. He wants to enjoy others, and everyone wants to enjoy him, and directly. So you play together or one against the other, but it's clear. It's not cunning, and therefore you enjoy on the spot and directly. And it's like the nature of animals, and there is a pleasure here that you can't contradict. The moment you start becoming complicated and more progressed, when you reach the age of 12 or 13, or today it's even earlier, it disappears. It's no longer childhood. There is a calculation behind your back, and like this, you're like that, and you start drifting apart. But if you start progressing through integral education in a group and changing your intention, you distance from childhood buddies. You no longer care about them, because you can't be in that same childish form connected with them. Like I see on Facebook or different other places, they tell me that there are plenty of such societies. It's childish. People at the age of 50, 60, they want to be children again. I understand them, but were they to progress in their development, were they to develop internally, personally, were their personality to develop, they wouldn't have been attracted to it, because that was really during the time of play. Play for children. On the animalistic level, still not on the speaking level, not on the human level yet. Or they did not develop personally like a human, and then he thinks, okay, now we'll see this this girl that I loved at the age of 20. I yearn for that same love. So he has that same depiction, imagination that he can love with the same naiveness, and she'll be that way like she was when she was 20. And what do you have as a result? It's not real. It's good that maybe they don't see each other's pictures, because if you see the other's picture at the age of 50, you see that it's very far from them, and there's no longer what to enjoy. Because back then they enjoyed each other physiologically, and today what can they enjoy? You see, all these things, they're so childish. It's so cheap. It's good. It says that connections that come to an end because you don't find what to enjoy, maybe you can revive them if you learn how to add this kind of connection. Why specifically with him or her then? Why specifically with childhood buddies? I look for people with whom I can progress. I'm talking in general about relations in life. No, I don't think so. I don't think that a person has to be cleaved on to time. He has to progress. Okay, if we're talking about time and progressing, and you talked about Facebook, we know that today there are people on the net, on Facebook, 28%. They say that they are more on the net than with flesh and blood friends, and most of the Americans that took part in the survey, they said that they can't take 2 days without connecting. It's a kind of an obsessive need to be on the net. And on the other hand, we're more and more connected. There's chat, SMS all the time. And on the other hand, we say that at some point it flaws. It doesn't flaw. It erases our human level. Why? Because I'm simply integrated with thoughts and cheap desires that flow through everyone this way. were it some kind of a filter in the middle that would filter according to the importance or something, then it would progress me somehow. But this way, I don't know. I get only emails, and on these emails, there's a very powerful filter. And they tell me that I get maybe only a few percent from what others write me. And from any other place, I don't get email at all. On my Facebook, I found friends from sixth grade and the different things that I did in life that I wouldn't be in touch with them in any other way. And once there was this application that shows you all your ties, and I saw how it looks like, plenty of lines that connect me with plenty of people. My computer almost collapsed because of the amount of connections. There's something happening. There's something interesting happening here. Of course, that it is a phase in our evolution, but we're about to discover its nothingness. And the next level, it has to be the connection, but a qualitative connection. A person doesn't grow as a result. On the contrary, he is deteriorates to a lower level. But we are all the time connected to the world. Everyone's interconnected. Is it something that prepares us? Yes, obviously. We can no longer be without the connection with others. We're nourished by it. Sometimes we feel a greater hunger toward it than a physiological hunger. It's a must to fill yourself by that. And from that, people really come to the need to establish the right ties, connections. But the right connections are where each will open himself up towards others, and then this way we will have a reciprocal limitless connection. Women will have to cross from an people will have to cross from an electronical virtual connection, what we call today, to an inner connection, mental connection, or spiritual connection. They will have to turn to the inner computer of everyone, of each and everyone, and to discover that same connection, like you say, on the billions of ties between everyone, like you say, on Facebook, we discover that this is the network of connections that we are related in, where each influences the other and depends on the others. Imagine 7 billion people were all interconnected, and to the still vegetative inanimate, too. It's really something, and it's all in our hands, and we, through our good intentions, we revive this network, and it rises in its importance, its essence, and everything that exists on that network, everyone feels and enjoys it. That's the true happiness that we'll come to. We talked about this on the previous show, that if I experience happiness with others, it enhances my sense of joy. Yes. But how can one person withhold so many? It's no problem, because I start feeling that it's all mine. If I relate with love towards everyone, I'm limitless. I'm like an open pipe for 7 billion. No problem. To receive, there is a problem. To bestow, no problem. To be the provider of happiness you talked about. Yes, because then I get from the connection this energy, and it only passes through me to others, because I don't want anything for myself. I pass it on to others, and by not stopping this energy that passes through me, that I do everything in order to bestow onto others, to benefit them, by that I allow myself to be in the pipe of bestowal of 7 billion people, 7 billion providers. That is the thing, that in reception we're very limited, both physiologically and also mentally, emotionally. I'll explode. We know from psychology how limited we are in receiving, but in giving, no problem. Because I connect with your desire and his and his and his. And I can pour onto everyone.
Okay.
Oh, and do I have anything else about this? There is the opposite topic we want to talk about, which is loneliness, that different researchers show that men who feel lonely, it really influences the function of their heart and depression. And why does loneliness influence us so much, even physically? Because it is against our natural development. If we used to live as monkeys in the past, in the society of monkeys, then in a primitive society, in a commune, big family, today it's against our development. And people who nonetheless shut themselves in not connecting to others, if they know that they're against society, then it influences them. If you simply as some peasant, some farmer somewhere out there in some field or in some remote place, I have friends that live in northern Canada or in Alaska, maybe with a family, maybe with a few more, maybe on the by themselves, and for thousands of kilometers there's nothing. So in these cases, we have to understand that that to the extent to which we connect with one another, it influences them too and brings them closer to us. They'll come. Especially in our society, there are many elderly people who are very lonely. 45% of the people, of the elderly people in Israel, feel lonely. In the most interconnected society on the net and so on, there's so many lonely people. People in big cities feel lonely. We experience this dissonance. So that's what I said. On the one hand, he sees society. On the other hand, a person isolates himself. So this creates different illnesses, sicknesses, and problems for him. Okay, so this is the place to conclude. We finished happiness. Oh, we have one more small thing coming up, but in general, we are finishing the topic of happiness. And to sum up our show, we'd like to recommend, suppose those people who are lonely or that do have an inclination, a social inclination, we'd like to talk to them about the kind of connection in which they will feel true happiness. So the first action that they can take, so they can exercise this in order to start feeling the power you talked about that exists in the connection between us, they have to get in touch. They have to get on our site, the Integral Education site. They have to watch our shows. We have to create more and more TV shows that all talk about the round table, that are all around the round table, to let them participate with us emotionally, to allow them to do that, the emotional participation. And this is how we'll advance toward more and more people feeling that specifically in this very special kind of connection, we discover the special natural resources, the forces of nature by which we improve and reach an ideal state and unlimited happiness. Okay, so there is a lot what to expect for this time. That's it. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you very much, Tal. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll connect and find the warmth between us. All the best.